Greetings and welcome to this session on Office 365 Cloud PBX with on-premise PSDN deployment. My name is Brandon Kwok and I am an MVP for Office Servers and Services focusing on Skype for Business, and I'm based here in Southeast Asia. In this session, we will be covering three main areas. First, we'll discuss what is Office 365 Cloud PBX and what are the PSDN calling options available here in Asia Pacific. Next, we will go deep dive into having a PSDN connectivity via an on-premise Skype for Business pool. And finally, we will also go deep dive into deploying PSDN connectivity via Microsoft's Cloud Connector Edition. So Office 365 Cloud PBX is all about taking those traditional voice calling capabilities that were provided by a on-premise PBX and move it completely to the cloud. And so the term modern voice, meaning UC as a service or having your users just make use of PBX services in the cloud. And Microsoft has made this available worldwide in the Office 365 E5 licensing suite or as an add-on to existing E1 or E3 customers. And this allows customers to provision users in the cloud with PBX calling capabilities, such as making and receiving and transferring business calls, whether they're at home in the office or in the road, and using any kind of device that they have. It provides end-user calling features, and it provides tenant controls for manageability via the Office 365 portal. Now, in the US, Microsoft has already launched PSDN calling service from Microsoft. In other words, you can just subscribe to a service from Microsoft directly and be able to make PSDN calls to the PSDN from Skype for Business. However, here in Asia Pacific and in many parts of the world, the PSDN calling service is not yet available. And so this whole session is all about how we can still make use of the Cloud PBX features and yet leverage the on-premise PSDN connectivity. So if you look at the different Skype for Business PSDN calling options, we're really focusing on the hybrid model here in the center, right? Obviously, the one on the left, which is pure online service, as I mentioned, it is only provided by Microsoft and only available in North America, but it will be available in APAC sometime in the near future. However, until then, customers can still move their users to Cloud PBX in Office 365 and leverage the on-premise PSDN infrastructure. And this is known as the hybrid voice calling model. Obviously, on the right-hand side, the traditional way of leveraging an on-premise Skype for Business server is still available and still used by many customers today, so that is still an option. However, in this session, we were focusing on the Cloud PBX and how we can leverage the PSDN calling options that's available with that option. So here is a good table that shows the feature comparison of the Skype for Business capabilities with regards to voice and the different deployment models, right? So we have in the first column, Skype for Business on-prem, and then you have Cloud PBX with on-premise PSDN calling via a local Skype for Business pool. And then third, you have Cloud PBX via the Cloud Connector PSDN calling. And then finally, you have the PSDN calling service, which I mentioned is only available in the US. So as you can see here, I wouldn't go through all of the different line items, but just to call out a couple of important ones. You can see that in the first row there, basic call features, that's pretty much available across the board. But once we get down to things such as location-based routing and call and mission control, those features are only available with the on-premise Skype for Business deployment pool. And also things like media bypass is also currently only available for Skype for Business on-premise. If you leverage a Cloud PBX deployment model, whether you're using an on-premise pool or with the PSDN calling via the Cloud Connector or the PSDN calling service, then the users that are making phone calls that are home in the Cloud PBX will not have media bypass. Things like IP phones, you know, whether they're from Polycom or from Yearlink, they're pretty much available across the board as well. And features such as the integration with an on-premise PBX that's obviously available only with the on-premise pools or with cloud connectors, right? If you're using the PSTN calling service in from Microsoft, then obviously you won't be able or wouldn't need to integrate with a on-premise PBX. Now, it's important to notice that these features are continuously under development. So some of the gray boxes that you see right now will change over time as Microsoft adds more and more capabilities into the Office 365 Cloud PBX servers in the cloud. So what features can we expect that Microsoft will be introducing to Cloud PBX in the coming months? And some of these features are actually shown here, and this is all public information. You can get this on the Fast Track website that's listed here at the top. But some of the worthy ones to highlight here are things like auto attendance in the Cloud PBX, and this is something that a lot of customers have asking for. It provides call treatment and routing to end users in Office 365, much like a traditional IVR system or interactive voice response systems. So, and this will include support for multiple languages and different voice commands and menu options that the administrator can define in the Cloud PBX. Another one is call queues, and this is another feature that a lot of customers have been wanting, and it provides the ability to queue your calls, your incoming calls, and route them to a service, and then callers will be able to hear custom defined greetings, your own music on hold, and also multiple options for routing are available so that administrators can perform the configuration to meet their requirements. And third, you have Exchange on-premise support, right? And currently, this is because currently, in order to use a Cloud PBX system, you have to have Exchange Unified Messaging in Exchange Online on Office 365. But this will be a feature that will be supported in the coming months, where the Cloud PBX users will be able to make use of existing on-premise Exchange 2013 or 2016 server to provide the voicemails and unified messaging. And last but not least, multi-region capability is a feature also that's widely anticipated by many customers. And this is the ability to support a multinational corporation tenant to have users be distributed across multiple data centers so that the Skype for Business online meetings will be hosted in the nearest data center that is nearest to the users. And this is also to provide better media quality and reduce the latency in the network traffic. Right, so these are some of the features that's coming up, and certainly look forward to this being released soon. So before we get into a deep dive on deploying Cloud PBX with on-premise PSTN connectivity, it's worthwhile to look at the bigger picture and what are the requirements on the customer side. So obviously, customers can obviously use this to home the users in the cloud, in other words, move them from on-premise to in the cloud and still leverage the existing on-premise PSTN calling infrastructure. So customers who have an existing topology obviously can do that by setting up a split domain with Office 365 tenant and then start to move the users to the cloud and then deploy the PSTN calling on-premise. Obviously, doing this, you can also potentially reduce the number of servers that you have currently deployed. And the second option is obviously to use Cloud Connector Edition, and this is actually for customers who do not have any existing Skype for Business on-premise deployment pools, or they want to remove it completely and just use the Cloud Connector Edition. And it's basically a set of packaged virtual machines that Microsoft is providing free for download, and you can deploy them and get it up pretty quickly and integrate that with the existing telephony infrastructure so that your Office 365 users in the cloud can make use of that to make phone calls out to the PSTN. This is pretty much whether you're using an on-premise existing pool or using Cloud Connector Edition, you're really doing a hybrid voice deployment model where you have an integration with the Office 365 tenant using split domain, and users are actually completely homed and use services in the cloud, right? In terms of the media path, obviously when the user makes a call within the Office 365 environment, then those calls stay within that environment. But when they actually make calls out to the PSTN, then those calls will be routed from the Office 365 to network to the on-premise equipment, whether it's a Skype for Business server on-prem or whether it's the Cloud Connector Edition. It goes out either through an existing telephony infrastructure such as a PBX or a session border controller, or potentially going directly to a SIP trunk provider. So there are multiple ways to implement Cloud PBX with on-premise PSTN connectivity. And on the left-hand side, you see options that are available to customers who have existing Skype for Business on-premise pools, or they want to set up a new Skype for Business server pool. That is the option on the left. And on the right-hand side, you have users who do not want to set up any on-premise Skype for Business infrastructure. They just want to use Skype for Business online in the Office 365 Cloud. And so these are different options available. Obviously, on the Cloud Connector Edition, that is something that's already available today. Customers can download it and deploy it within their environment. We also have partners that are providing appliances that actually have this Cloud Connector software built in that also is integrated with or bundled with a SBC or a PSTN gateway within that appliance as well. And that simplifies the deployment itself. And so multiple ways to implement this topology, and really depends on the customer's specific requirements and where you're at and where you hope to achieve in this deployment. So these options are flexible and available today. So what are the requirements, right, to deploy Cloud PBX with on-premise PSTN connectivity? Well, first and foremost, the user accounts, right? If you want to use an existing link or Skype for Business pool, then you can only use on-premise Active Directory and synced to the Azure AD using the Azure AD Sync. If you're using Cloud Connector Edition, right, then you can use on-premise AD synchronized to Azure, or you can just use the Azure AD accounts directly. You do not need to have any on-premise Active Directory environment. In terms of the Azure AD Sync, you need to have one of the latest versions, if not the latest version. And you have if you want to do a on-premise coexistence deployment, then you need to have Link Server 2013 with the latest cumulative updates, or Skype for Business Server 2015 with the latest cumulative updates. Right? If you're using Cloud Connector Edition, then there is no need to have any on-premise deployment of Skype for Business. In terms of the gateways or IPPBX or the SIP trunks, then they must be in the list of tested devices or services that's provided in the UCOIP website that's provided by Microsoft TechNet. In terms of calling restrictions, then in terms we have to realize that calling restrictions can be set obviously via an on-premise Skype for Business pool using the voice routing policies. However, if you're using Cloud Connector Edition, there is only the ability to limit domestic or international calling in the online voice policy. In terms of dial plans, obviously in the existing Skype for Business pool, you can configure dial plans to suit your dialing preferences and environments. And on the Cloud Connector Edition, you can only use the predefined online dial plans. Okay. In terms of other things such as enterprise voice configured and tested before configuration, yes, you need that if you're using on-premise Skype for Business pool, not required if you're using Cloud Connector Edition. ADFS is obviously recommended for both environments. This is for a single sign-on so that users don't have to log in again when they use on-prem and in the cloud services. And in terms of where the users can be homed, for the on-premise environments, you can choose to home the users on-prem or in the cloud, and both types of users can make use of the PSTN calling. However, if you're using Cloud Connector Edition, then the users must be homed only on Office 365. So now that we have covered what Cloud PBX with on-premise PSTN connectivity is and what are the requirements, let's deep dive into how you go about deploying in your environment. So the first model we'll look at is how to deploy PSTN connectivity via an on-premise Skype for Business pool. So this is what the architectural overview looks like. So on the right-hand side, in the premise, customer's premise, you have obviously your Active Directory domain controllers, And as I said, we recommend the Active Directory Federation services for one single sign-on. And you would need to have the directory synchronization so that you can synchronize your on-premise Active Directory user accounts to Azure Active Directory. And obviously, you will have the link or Skype for Business server pool. This can be a standard edition pool or an enterprise edition pool. And of course, obviously, on-premise in the perimeter network, you would have the Active Directory Federation Services proxy and also the edge pools, whether it's a single edge server or multiple edge servers, that is what is required on the customer premise side. And on the left-hand side, obviously, what you will need is to have an Office 365 tenant and with the E5 licenses or with E3 or E1 with the Cloud PBX option. And obviously, the Active Directory in Azure is also will be used to host those user accounts as we synchronize them from the on-premise Active Directory. So in this model, the Skype for Business servers that are on-premise are actually going to be integrated with the Office 365 tenants in what we call a split domain deployment model. And so in this model, you can have users either homed on-premise or homed online, right? And either way, the users will be able to make PSTN calls through the on-premise servers, right? And the direct SIP connectivity is pretty much standard as defined by Microsoft requirements in the OIP. So as long as you use a certified gateway, SBC or PBX, then this should work without any issues. So here you can see there are a number of users in the diagram. You see Katy, who is a on-premise user, and you will also see Dave and John, who are online users, right? So either of those users can make calls to each other and also through the PSTN using the PSTN gateway that's deployed on-premise. The only difference is that Katy will be, as she's on-premise, she will be logging to the on-premise pools, whereas Dave and John, who are homed online, are actually logging into Office 365 and consuming services delivered directly from Office 365 Cloud. So let's take a more detailed look at the prerequisites for deploying the on-premise Skype for Business pool to have Cloud PBX with on-premise PSTN connectivity. On the table, as you can see, the front-end servers, right, can be Skype for Business Server 2015 or Link Server 2013, or even Link 2010 with the October 2012 cumulative updates or later. On the edge server, however, those have to be running at least Link Server 2013 or Skype for Business Server 2015. And the mediation server component, which can be co-located with the front-end server, can also be Skype for Business Server 2015, Link Server 2013, or Link Server 2010. There are some other requirements that are worthy to know here. The first is, of course, it is expected that the on-premise enterprise voice is already configured for on-premise users, including the PSTN connectivity components, before you actually go ahead and configure the Cloud PBX to work with the online users. In terms of Active Directory synchronization, it is worthwhile to deploy the Skype for Business server first before actually installing and deploying Azure AD Connect, so that it actually has the necessary Active Directory schema extensions which Azure AD Connect will synchronize to the Office 365 tenant. It is recommended to deploy Active Directory Federation services to support single sign-on, and this requires the ADFS server and the ADFS proxy servers as we saw in the earlier architectural diagram. So it's so important to understand the different voice policy options when using Cloud PBX with on-premise PSTN connectivity. So just to recap, right, an on-premise voice routing policy defines what PSTN usage records can be associated with the user. And you would assign this voice routing policy either at a global level or to a specific user. Whereas an online voice policy defines what calling features are available to the user. And this online voice policy is what is assigned to users who are homed in the cloud using Cloud PBX. Right, so if you look at the table, for an on-premise user, it's pretty straightforward, right? Where both the calling features and the PSTN usage records are defined in the on-premise voice policy. However, when you move users to the cloud using Cloud PBX with on-premise PSTN connectivity, that user will inherit an online voice policy instead of the on-premise voice policy. And this online voice policy was automatically assigned and it's identical. And on the other hand, the PSTN usage records, right, are not defined in that online voice policy, but rather in the voice routing policy that is assigned to the user while he's still homed on-premise. In other words, we need to create a voice routing policy on-prem, assign that to a user while he's still homed on-prem, and then move the user to the cloud on Cloud PBX. In this case, when the user in Cloud PBX makes a PSTN call, then those voice routing policies will be applied to the user. So let's take a closer look at a couple of different PSTN calling scenarios and what are the call flows that are involved. So in this example here, we have a user who is sitting out in the internet. He is not on-premise, and he is receiving an incoming PSTN call. And this user, as you see in the diagram, is called John. So here, John receives a call from the PSTN, and so from the PSTN, that call gets into first and foremost the PSTN gateway. The PSTN gateway then routes the call to the on-premise front-end server. On-premise front-end server, right, then is realizes that, oh, this is a for a online user, right, and then it routes the call via reverse number lookup. Right? It routes the call to the Skype for Business online infrastructure, which then determines where the user is located. And then he realizes that this user is sitting on the internet, and it starts to then provide the signaling information so that the media can flow in the optimal path. Right? In this case, John, who is sitting on the internet, will maintain a signaling connection with the Skype for Business online infrastructure. However, the media flows will be through the PSTN out into the on-premise PSTN gateway, out to the on-premise front-end servers, to the front-end, to the edge pools in the on-premise, and then finally to the John, who is the client sitting out on the internet. In this second example, we see the call flows for a outgoing PSTN call from a user that is located within the corporate network. So here, Dave, who is a user that's home on Office 365 but sitting in the on-premise network, makes an outgoing call to the PSTN. So obviously, the reverse number lookup is performed and realizes that this number is not associated to any user within the Skype for Business environment, and then is assumed to be a PSTN call, and then it's proxied to the on-premise Skype for Business server, which then performs all the voice policy enforcements and call authorization, right, before it determines if the user is even allowed to make this call in the first place. If it is allowed, then the user, the call is routed to PSTN egress throughout the mediation server, and then to the PSTN gateway, and then out to the PSTN. And since the user is located on-premise, then the media is actually flowing from the on-premise servers to the front-end servers, to the PSTN gateway, and then out to the PSTN. In the third and final example, here we have a user, John, who is homed on online and is making a call out to the PSTN, and John is actually out on the internet and not on-prem. So an outgoing PSTN call request is made by this user, and again, a reverse number lookup is performed. It fails to associate the number to a user in the Skype for Business environment, and therefore is then assumed to be a PSTN call, which is then the call is then proxied to the on-premise Skype for Business server through the edge servers. Now the voice policy enforcement and call authorization are performed again on the on-premise server, and then if allowed, the call is then going out to PSTN through the gateway. And again, media will flow through the optimal path, most likely through the on-premise edge servers, if not then between the online and on-premise edge servers. So deploying Cloud PBX with on-premise Skype for Business server is basically a 10-step process, and we will be going through each of these processes in the coming slides. So the first two steps are to obtain the tenant itself, right? In other words, a Office 365 E5 tenant, and get the credentials of the on-premise Skyflow business deployment. And then we use this to actually add the SIP domain to the online tenant. So it's what we call the split domain hybrid model, where both the tenant and the on-premise Skyflow business will share the same SIP domain. And this is done using the portal. You specify that you already own a domain, you specify the SIP domain in there, and then you need to edit some DNS records so that the Office 365 can verify that you do indeed own the domain. And the good news is that if you're using, for example, GoDaddy DNS domain, the Office 365 server actually know that you are using GoDaddy, and it will actually create the necessary records in the DNS for you, provided you provide the GoDaddy credentials in this step. Next, we will want to install and configure Azure Active Directory Sync. And this is a free download from the Azure website. We download it and we install it. We have to specify the on-premise Active Directory credentials, administrator credentials, as well as the Azure AD tenant administrator credentials. And then it goes through a wizard, and then it is fairly straightforward after that. And so once you finish installing this, it will go ahead and initiate a synchronization, and within a couple of minutes, your user accounts on your on-premise Active Directory will appear in the Azure tenant Active Directory. And one of the things that you want to do also is to set up a schedule. Now the default sync schedule is every 30 minutes, and you can actually essentially initiate a manual synchronization by using the start AD sync cycle commandlet using the Delta policy type. And you can also use the set AD sync scheduler commandlet to set the interval. So if you think that 30 minutes is too long or too short, you can use the PowerShell commands to change that interval itself. So the next step is to install and configure Active Directory Federation services. And in Windows Server 2012, this is just a server role that you can enable using the Server Configuration Manager. Once you enable this, you'll be able to run the wizard to create a new ADFS farm, right? And inside here, again, you go through the wizard, specify the credentials. At this stage, you also need to have a public SSL certificate, right, which you need to purchase from a public CA. And it has to contain the certificate subject name of this certificate has to be the Federation service name as you enter when you put it into the wizard. And once you finish the wizard, you should complete with all green check boxes to show you that the installation and configuration is successful. Now, this is pretty much a one-time setup. Once you've got it running, it pretty much runs on itself. There is much little configuration that you need to do once you have it set up correctly. The ADFS server that we just installed sits in the corporate network, and it is not allowed to communicate with the Office 365 directly. So therefore, we need to next install and configure a proxy server known as the ADFS proxy server. And this is again a role that you can enable in Windows Server 2012 or later. And once you enable this role, you would go ahead and install the same SSL certificate that you just installed on the ADFS server. And in this instance, you would import that into IIS on the ADFS proxy. And then you would run the ADFS proxy configuration wizard. And again, as a wizard driven, you would enter the credentials and you enter the necessary, specify the necessary SSL certificate. And then you can do a test connection to show that it actually is able to connect to the Federation server successfully. And then when you complete the wizard, if there are no errors, you should see all green check marks in there to show you that the configuration is finished. And again, and similarly, this is a one-time setup. And once you've got it running, you pretty much don't have to do any maintenance or configuration thereafter, except when you actually have to renew the certificates. So after you've deployed the Azure AD Sync and the ADFS and ADFS proxy, we now need to configure our Office 365 tenant to work with our on-premise Skype for Business deployment. And the first thing you want to do is obviously to enable federation on the on-premise server. And this can be done using the PowerShell commandlet here, or you can do it using the control panel. And then you have to, next thing you want to do is to enable the shared address space. And in order to do that, you'll have to create a new CS hosting provider using the PowerShell commandlet on the on-prem server and specify the link online proxy to enable the shared address space. After enabling shared address space on the on-prem server, we now need to connect to link online and enable shared address space on the tenant itself, right? So you would fire up the PS session, online session, to connect to your tenant, and then run the set CS tenant federation configuration commandlet to enable the shared SIP address space. So by enabling the this parameter to on both the tenant and the on-prem servers, we now are able to connect our on-prem server to the online tenant servers. Once you have the shared SIP address space configured, you can actually start to move users online. But however, as mentioned earlier, you want to actually create and assign a voice routing policy to the user while he's still homed on-prem before moving the user to the cloud. And so on the local Skype for Business management shell, you can run the new CS voice routing policy and assign and create a new voice routing policy with the necessary PSTN usages. And then you would grant that voice policy to the user, right? And then once you have done this, you can then move the user to the cloud, and then the user would inherit this voice routing policy and apply, and this policy will be applied when the user tries to make a call to the PSTN using the on-prem infrastructure. So once you have the voice routing policy assigned, you can move the user to the cloud. And this is one of the easiest things to do. You would open up the Skype for Business 2015 on-prem server control panel, and there will be a place where you can actually sign into the O365 tenant on the main page. Once you do that, then you can go into the users and you can select the user, and then you will see that the move selected users to Skype for Business online menu will be available. Click on that, and the control panel will actually do all the necessary work in the background to move this user to home in the cloud. And the final step for this deployment is to assign a dial plan to the user and also to enable the user for cloud voicemail. And as mentioned earlier, only Exchange Online is supported at this stage. However, in the future, we will be able to make use of an on-premise Exchange server installation as well. So in order to assign the dial plan, you will just use the, you will again connect to the tenant using the online session, and then you would just grant the CS dial plan commandlet to assign the user a dial plan so that the user can do four-digit dialing and things like that. And also enable the user for Exchange voicemail by setting the hosted voicemail parameter to true, right? And this can be done using the set CS user commandlet as shown here. And this pretty much completes the deployment. Just some final to finish off on this section, which is some of the gotchas, right? So link online users with cloud identity are not supported for on-premise PSTN calling. In other words, if you're not using an AD Azure Synced account, then you cannot use this on-premise PSTN calling deployment model, right? You have, your users have to be synchronized from your on-premise Active Directory. And second thing that's worthy to take note of is that if you have a link online user that's already been synchronized from your on-premise Active Directory and you actually was already enabled for link online before you actually deployed the on-premise PSTN calling with Cloud PBX, you can still enable these users, and you would run the commandlet as shown here, which is enable CS user followed by the SIP address, and then specify the hosting provider proxy FQDN as sipfed.online.link.com, and this will enable these existing online users to make use of the on-premise PSTN calling in Cloud PBX. So let's move on to the third and final section of this presentation, which is how to deploy PSTN connectivity via the Cloud Connector Edition. To begin, let's take a look at the architecture of the Cloud Connector itself. The Cloud Connector is a set of virtual machines, four to be more specific, running on each physical host, and this host must be located in the perimeter network. The deployment actually creates its own AD forest, but this AD forest has got nothing to do with the actual customer's Active Directory. It is a standalone AD forest that's used internally for within the Cloud Connector environment. So there is no dependency on the corporate AD domain. The DAO plan is assigned based on location. So since there is no on-premise SCAP for business infrastructure, wherever the user is located, then the user will be assigned to a DAO plan that's assigned to that particular location. You have the option to restrict calling in terms of whether the user can call domestic or can call international, and that's pretty much the only thing you can set. For the architecture itself, we require the SIP DNS entries to point to the online servers. Right, and this is in contrast to the previous deployment where we actually point them to the on-premise servers. There can be no coexistence at this stage between Cloud Connector and any on-premise Skype for Business deployments. They have to be, they are separate and mutually exclusive. Media traffic will always flow through a mediation server component within the Cloud Connector itself, right? And you would configure this mediation server to connect to one or more PSTN gateways in your on-premise environment. The flexibility here is that the user accounts does not have to be synchronized from on-premise AD. You can make use of just a pure Azure Active Directory account and still be able to make use of this Cloud Connector architecture. In terms of high availability, Cloud Connector architecture actually supports up to 4 instances of Cloud Connector within a single site. Out of these 4 instances, 3 are active and 1 is on passive standby. When calls come in and out of the PSTN, they are actually randomly distributed between the Cloud Connectors within the pool. And so when you're doing capacity planning, you should consider that should any one or more of those Cloud Connector instances go down, then the remaining Cloud Connector should be able to handle the load. Now, each Cloud Connector instance can handle up to 500 concurrent calls. So if you want to provide 99.8% availability, then you would need 500 times, you would need N plus one boxes to support 500 times N concurrent calls. If you want to provide 99.9% availability, then you need N plus two boxes to support 500 times N concurrent calls. Now the Cloud Connector architecture also supports multi-sites. So for example, in this diagram, you see there are 2 sites. There's one site in Seattle and one site in Amsterdam. Each PSTN site is defined as the pool of Cloud Connector instances within that site connected to the PSTN gateways that are located also within that site. So users can be assigned to a specific site using the set CS user PSTN settings site commandlet. You can also specify whether the user can do international dialing or not within that commander as well. Now, there is no disaster recovery between the sites, so each site needs to have its own high availability and redundancy built in. So in this instance, in this example, you see that each site actually has 2 PSTN gateways and 2 instances of Cloud Connector in order to provide high availability for the user. One of the features that was introduced in Skype for Business Server 2015 was the ability to pair multiple mediation servers to multiple gateways, or also known as the M-to-N mediation to gateway connectivity. So here in this example, in a single site, you have 2 Cloud Connector instances, and each Cloud Connector instances has obviously a mediation server component. And we have defined the mediation server component in each Cloud Connector to connect to all 3 gateways that you see here. So the gateways are chosen in round robin, and you can also set the preferred gateway if you choose to. If one of the gateways cannot accept the call, the mediation server would then redirect the call to another gateways. So for this reason, it's actually recommended to have at least 2 PSTN gateways for high availability. And also, again, for capacity planning, you should consider that a single gateway should be able to handle the full amount of calls generated by Cloud Connector if one or more of the gateways go down. So before we get into the deployment steps, let's take a look at a few scenarios and their call flows. So here we have an example of Dave, who is a Skype for Business online user sitting in the internal network. So he places a call to an external PSTN user. The SIP traffic gets first routed to the Skype for Business online servers, and which determines through reverse number lookup that this call is for the PSTN. The call is then routed to the Edge servers. Both SIP and media flow via the online Edge servers and then via the on-premise Edge server in the Cloud Connector instance. If the route exists, then the Edge will relay the traffic to the mediation server component in the Cloud Connector, which then sends the traffic out to the PSTN gateway. In the next example, the same user, Dave, is receiving a PSTN call. So the call comes in through the PSTN gateway and gets directed to the Cloud Connector servers. And then the mediation server within the Cloud Connector sends the traffic to the Edge server component in the Cloud Connector, and it then goes to the Skype for Business online infrastructure. The server's online infrastructure then performs reverse number lookup and determines that the call is for Dave, and then redirects the media traffic from the PSTN gateway to the mediation server, then directly to the user in the internal network. So before deploying the Cloud Connector, we need to look at the firewall requirements. With Cloud Connector, all the users are actually hosted in the cloud and will consume all the services in the Office 365 cloud. So only the PSTN ingress and egress calls from on-premise is enabled with the Cloud Connector. So therefore, the firewall requirements are pretty much identical compared to a typical Skype for Business Access Edge and AVH, right? So that means in terms of the signaling, it will be TCP 443 and 5061, UDP 3478, and the ephemeral media ports 50,000 to 59,999. Of course, we need to have outgoing DNS. And so for the mediation server part, we'll need to have TCP 5067 and TCP 5068 going in and out from the PSTN gateway to the mediation server. So what are the requirements to deploy even the first instance of Cloud Connector, right? What server hardware do we need and software? So first of all, we cannot have any on-premise Skype for Business deployment, right? There is no coexistence today between to have CCE and a on-premise Skype for Business deployment in the same environment. Then we need to have a qualified SIP trunk, IPPBX, SBC, or gateway. To actually install the Cloud Connector instance, we need to have one Windows Server 2012 Data Center Edition, and that must be located in the DMZ with at least three network cards. A 64-bit dual processor, 6-core, with 2.5 gigahertz and 64 gigs of RAM is recommended, and 4x600 gig hard disk. Now, a standalone instance, a single instance, right, can handle up to 500 calls, as mentioned earlier, and this is based on there will be 70% of the users that are internal, and 30% of users that's coming in, that's connecting in from the external network. Now, with the latest version of Cloud Connector version 1.4, Microsoft also introduced a smaller version of the instance, which supports instead of 500 calls, but 50 calls. And so there is a much lesser hardware requirements to have this minimum hardware config. So for this 50 concurrent calls, we just need to have a single quad-core i7 Intel processor, 32 gigs of RAM, 2 terabyte hard disk, and at least two gigabit Ethernet network cards. So the deployment steps for Cloud Connector Edition can be described in 10 steps, just as before. And all of these 10 steps, 6 of them are to prepare the environment, and the remaining 4 are the actual deployment itself. So we will be going through each of these steps in greater detail in the coming slides. So the first step is to download and install the Cloud Connector on the host machine. Okay, and you can download the MSI file from the Microsoft website. As I said, it's a free download. Once you install and download the MSI file, then you can actually open up the PowerShell command and just check to have that you have installed it correctly by running the get command *cc* to actually see the commandlets that are installed. So these are, if you install it correctly, you should see a whole bunch of commands or rather scripts that are actually installed along with the CCE MSI file. And you will also go ahead and also get a sample configuration file. Right? You do this by running the export-cc configuration sample file commandlet, which actually allows you to have a sample INI file that you need to edit later on. So once you have that, you can actually download the CCE bits by running the start CC download command using the PowerShell, right? And again, this actually takes quite a while because it actually downloads the actual installation bits from Microsoft website. And then once it's finished, you want to do, next thing you want to do is to set the certificate path, right? So you would have to go ahead and buy a UC SSL certificate from a public CA. It could be from GoDaddy or it could be from other CA. But you have to actually put that file, that SSL cert into the host machine and then set the external path to the machine. So because when you run the script later on to install the instance, it will refer to this SSL certificate. And finally, you want to create two switches, you know, in the host machine. Right? One is to connect to the internet and one is to connect to the internal network. Right? And the name of this switches, if you follow the default, it would be SFB CCE Corpnet switch as shown below here. If you change the name here, then you have to edit the INI file later on. But for simplicity, we just create the switches with the name that's based out of the default names. And you got to make sure that actually the default gateway is set on the public internet facing switch and not on the internal switch. And on the internal switch, you would want to actually create the persistent routes to actually allow the switch to the host machine or the CCE to be able to reach the internal machines in the network. The next step is to actually prepare a base VHD file from which all the other four virtual machines will be created. So to do this, you need to first have a Windows Server 2012 R2 ISO image in the host machine. So you get that and you copy it to your host server, and then you run the commandlet convert-cc ISO to VDX and followed by the path to the ISO file. And what this will do is to create a VHD file which forms as the base image for which to create all the other actual VM instances for the Cloud Connector. Once you have prepared the VHD, you want to go ahead and just set the execution policy and also to change the user profile, the GPO setting, to not forcefully unload the user registry at user logoff. Right? This is to enable the deployment of the Cloud Connector to go on without any interruptions. And then you want to add the DNS records for your HFQDN, and this is actually pointing to the Skype for Business online servers. So you can see here the SIP TLS SRB record goes to sipdir.online.link.com, and the SIP Federation TLS for Federation would point to sipfed.online.link.com. The next step is actually to customize the Cloud Connector.ini file, and this is a very big text file with many, many sections, and there are many comments in this file to explain what each of these parameters mean. So I'm not going to cover all of the parameters in the Cloud Connector INI file. I'm just going to highlight a couple of them which I have set in my lab environment to show you what's important. So the first one you see there is the hardware type. And this is the setting that specifies that you want to install the minimum hardware config for Cloud Connector that will support only 50 concurrent calls. And the other one is to obviously specify the SIP domain, and this has to be your public DNS, the public SIP domain that you created in the tenant. You also want to create the local virtual machine domain, right? The one that is being used internally, and this must be different from the domain that you used earlier on, So in this instance, I've used a .local address to register for the internal domain. Then you want to set the IP address and the default gateway for the corpnet switch to be able to download the VMs. And then you also want to set the internal IP, internal DNS IP server, so that it's able to resolve internal records. But it has to be, it should ideally point to the DNS server in the perimeter that can resolve internet addresses. Okay, so this is important because the default DNS, if we don't set this record, then the default DNS will be the CCE AD DNS server internally. And so if you are using a PSTN gateway that's using the same FQDN as the SIP domain, then the CCE AD DNS server will make it authoritative for that zone, which will cause problems in DNS resolution. So you want to set this internet DNS IP address to a server in the DMZ that will be able to provide name resolution for internet records. The last one I want to highlight here is that the external name for the H pool, the access component on the H pool in the cloud connected instance. So in this case, it's just AP. We do not allow the use of the SIP prefix. So for example, if your domain, your SIP domain is sgpolycomlab.com, you cannot use sip.sgpolycomlab.com because that is already being used by OS365. So the recommendation is to use something else such as AP. So you would need to create a DNS record called ap.sgpolycomlab.com pointing to your external IP address of your access edge component in your cloud connector. And this also has to be the subject name of the SSL certificate that you create, that you purchase for the cloud connector instance. Some other important parameters are for defining the PSTN gateway and the voice routes. So here we specify the FQDN of the PSTN gateway and the IP address, and also the port that is used. So here you can see it's port 5060, and which means that it is a TCP connection and not a TLS connection. And then the list of routes that's used by this gateway. So in this case, we have only defined one route here called local route. So we specify that as one of the voice routes. And then we also set some parameters for hybrid voice routes, right? And so in this case, we put a dot asterisk to say that all of the routes that's being defined in the voice routes will be used by these gateways. And some of the newer, in the latest Cloud Connector version 1.4.1, there's also two additional new parameters that's been created. One is to enable refer support for the PSTN gateway, right? So if your PSTN gateway supports any refer, we will set this to true. If it does not, we set it to false. And then finally, whether we forward the PAI information from the mediation server to the gateways, right? If the gateway is able to make use of this P-asserted identity, then we set this parameter to true. So the next step is to actually deploy the Cloud Connector virtual machines. So once we have finished modifying and customizing the cloudconnector.ini file, we need to run the register CC appliance script to actually register our Cloud Connector instance with our tenant. So when you actually run this this script, it will prompt you for a number of passwords, right? First one will be the administrator password for the built-in administrator accounts for the your Cloud Connector instance. And then it will ask you for the service accounts, password and domain admin passwords, domain admin password and safe mode admin's password. It will also ask you for the external certificate password. So when you actually create the certificate in a PFX file, you export it, you actually have to put a password. So this is the password that the script will use to unlock the certificate. And then finally, you need to enter the credentials for your online tenant, all right, so administrator account. So this is, and then once you have entered all these passwords, they will actually go ahead and register the Cloud Connector instance with your online tenants. It will run a series of commands in the background. And this process, when this process is finished, it will have created a new PSTN site. Default name is Site1 with the HFQDN, which is the what you specified earlier on. And it will actually start the CCE management service in your host machine, right? And so this is the step to actually register your host machine as a CCE appliance. Now, when you finish running this step, it does not mean that your VMs have already been installed. So to actually install the actual VMs, we need to run the next script, which is the install-cc-instance script. Now, this script will actually be the one that will actually create those four virtual machines. In other words, the one AD, one CMS database, one mediation server, and one edge server. And it will actually use that base VHD that we have created earlier on to create these four virtual machines. And in this process also involves actually downloading the updates from the internet as well. So this process can take quite a while. So, but once it's finished, it will actually assign the necessary virtual switches to the VMs. And you should be able to, when the script is completed, see the four virtual machines running in your CCE host machine, right? So you can see here in Hyper-V, you can see that there's an Active Directory server, a CMS database server, an edge server, and a mediation server running. And interestingly enough, for the minimum config, it's assigning 2 gigs to the AD, 3 gigs of memory, 3 gigs of RAM to the CMS database, and 4 gigs of RAM to both the edge server and the mediation server. Right, you notice there is no registrar component in here because the registrar component is the one that's running in your Office 365 cloud in your tenant. Right, so it is also worthwhile to note that Microsoft does not support you to manually log in to each of these VMs and make modifications. Right, so if you have to do any modifications, you have to modify the INI file and then redeploy the virtual machines. Right, if you try to log into each of those virtual machines to try to change something, it is not supported and it will actually not allow you to change anything either. So the final step in deploying Cloud Connector is then to configure your tenant and to actually enable your users for Cloud Connector. Now up until this point, we have already created our Cloud Connector instance and got all the four virtual machines running and configured the PSTN gateway to connect to the Cloud Connector instance. So the last step is to configure the tenant and enable the user. So you would open up the PowerShell and connect to the online tenant using remote PowerShell. And the first thing you want to do is to actually specify the peer destination for your tenant hybrid configuration. And in this case, you would use the setcs tenant hybrid configuration to specify the FQDN of your external access edge. And then using the set the use on-prem dial plan to false. And then you would also set the shared SIP address space parameter to true in your tenant, right? And then you would then now set the user to use this enterprise voice, enable the user for enterprise voice and also for hosted voicemail, and also specify a on-prem line URI using the set CS user command as shown here. So once you got that, then that user will be enabled for Cloud Connector with with the ability to dial out to the PSTN using your CCE and PSTN connection. Now, you also want to enable the user for hosted voicemail. As mentioned earlier on, we only support Exchange Online at this moment. So you would basically enable the user for Exchange Mailbox by using the enable CS Online UM Mailbox commandlet, and that is shown on the right here. So you do this for all of our users, and you can then start to go ahead and test to make sure everything is working. Hopefully, you know, if all have been done correctly and the deployment went smoothly with no errors, then everything should be good and your users will be able to make PSTN calls using the on-premise PSTN gateway using Cloud Connector. So that's all for this session, and I hope it has been useful, and I hope it has given you enough information to know how to deploy Cloud PBX with on-premise PSTN connectivity. To summarize, we've looked at the different options available for Cloud PBX with PSTN with on-premise PSTN connectivity, and look into detail the architecture and deployment steps involved in deploying the Cloud PBX with the two options. One is the on-prem Skype for Business pool and one with the Cloud Connector. So hopefully this gives you insight into the deployment process, as well as giving you some tips to actually make the whole process smooth. Obviously, you can get the detailed information in the Microsoft TechNet website. Hopefully, this session has been useful for you. And thank you for your time, and have a great day. Thank you.